Find a picture of this so we put it up on the screen. Y'all can read that from back there, right? Okay, next Sunday, third Sunday of the month, Ryan will be showing Hiding in Plain Sight, 5 o'clock here in the auditorium. So keep that in mind, and that will be our family movie. Whoa! Throw it on the floor. That will be our family movie for this month. Also, just a program note for you, just to let you know what's going on. Cindy and I will be leaving Thursday. We're flying up to Buffalo, New York to visit my mom and check on her. Her health has been a little bit shaky here lately, and I'm going to go up there and check on her, just spend a little bit of time with her. So we'll be doing that, and we'll be coming back on Monday. Brian will be speaking next Sunday in our worship time, and Carter will be teaching the Bible class next Sunday morning. So just to let you know, keep you updated on what's going on. We're talking about this morning about trusting in God. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we really? I mean, this is our national motto. In fact, it's the motto that we have imprinted on our money. In God we trust. But again, the question is, do we really trust in God? Okay? Let me begin this morning by asking this question. Why is the topic of giving such a sensitive topic? In other words, some of you already go, oh, man, he's talking about giving this. I knew I should have gone over and visited such and such congregation. See? Here they go, asking for money again. See? It's a really sensitive topic, and we need to explore why, first of all. Why do we get, you know, so antsy when preachers get up and start talking about money and start talking about giving? Well, you know, money, we kind of have that on our conscience all the time, don't we? We never seem to have enough of it. All right? But there are three reasons I want to suggest to you this morning, we start out, as to why it's such a sensitive topic for us, all right? First one is that we kind of feel like that money and giving is a personal thing, okay? We don't like to talk about three major things, okay? We don't like to talk about money, we don't like to talk about sex, and we don't like to talk about religion. Okay, those are the three topics that it's kind of like, those are personal, you stay away from those things. Okay? Now, we make an exception when it comes to religion when we're in church. Okay? But outside of church, let's keep religion off the table, alright? Because that's personal. And we don't like to get personal. We don't like people stepping in our business, you see? So that's one of the main reasons that you know, we just, you know, talking about money, it really makes us uncomfortable. Any of those three. Alright? We get really uncomfortable. But you know, the reality is the Bible has a lot to say about all three of those things. Okay? Not just religion. It has a lot to say about money and sex. Okay? So, we shouldn't be getting so uncomfortable about talking about any of those things. Alright? But this morning our topic is about money. But more than about money, it's about trust. And you'll see why I say that in just a moment. The second reason, I think, is because we're just selfish people. I mean, let's be honest about it, okay? When it comes to our money, we're selfish, all right? We don't like somebody else telling us what we should and shouldn't do with our own money. Our own money. We'll come back to that. Hang on to that idea for a second. We're going to come back to that in just a second, okay? All right? But it's bottom line. We don't like somebody else telling us what to do with it. You need to give this much. I need to give what? And then the third reason is we just don't trust God enough that if we give as we should, that we're going to have enough to take care of all of our needs. So again, it comes back to that issue, do we really trust God? I think those are the three main reasons why talking about money in church is such a sensitive issue and such a sensitive topic, you see. Because of that, the elders have decided that we're going to do a study on giving. Okay? And that's going to start in the fall, It's going to be in our Sunday morning Bible class time. All right, we're going to have a study on it, and the study is going to be based on this book, okay? The Truth About Giving. We're going to look at what does the Bible have to say about giving. And Jerry and Ray and I are going to tag team in teaching this class. We're going to take turns teaching different topics in this book. I have several copies of this book. If you want a copy of it, see me, and we'll get you a copy of it. If we run out of the ones we have, then we'll get more. All right, but this is where we go. Now, since I've announced this, I don't want anybody saying, oh, I'm not coming to Bible class hardly in the fall. And I know some of you might be already thinking that, going, where can I go to Bible? Oh, I'm just getting to sleep in that morning. No. We want you to be here for Bible class, okay? We want to encourage you, we want to urge you to come and study this all-important topic with us.
Amen.
And hopefully by the time we get finished with this lesson this morning, you'll understand why that's so important, and you will agree with us as to why it's so important for you to be here. Today's lesson basically is to prepare us for that study. I want to get you thinking about some things about giving and kind of prepare you so that when we begin in the fall on this study, that you'll be ready to take this on, okay? Because what we want to do is to look at biblical giving. What is it really all about? Okay? And what are some things that we need to understand about what the Bible teaches us about giving, all right? So then the topic then is, in God we trust. Right, so let's talk about that. First of all, we need to understand that giving, all right, is more about trust than it is about money, all right? We need to understand that concept, all right? Giving has less to do about money and dollar amounts than it does about how much we trust in God. Amen. All right? So when giving is mentioned, what's the first thing we typically think of?
Money.
Okay? And then again, you know, the preacher gets up, and as soon as he announces money, what do we instinctively do? Grab that wallet, that purse. You see? Now hold on to all that we can get. Well, we need to change our thinking.
Right.
All right? Because giving isn't as much about dollar amounts as it is about how much we trust in God. And you'll see that as we go through this lesson. Giving has less to do with, secondly, what we give than how we give. We need to understand that part of it.
Right.
Again, it's not as much about the dollar amounts as it is about the attitude. Okay? Attitude in our giving is everything. If we don't have the right kind of attitude, it doesn't really matter how much we give. You see, so attitude is everything. Consider the text in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Jesus is standing across from the people that are putting their money into the treasury. And he observes that there are wealthy people, or rich people, who are putting in, he says, large sums of money. And then there is this poor widow who puts in two small copper coins, or two mites, and that's why they refer to it as the widow's mite. Okay? Two very small copper coins. And look at what Jesus observes about this act of giving. Okay? All of these, that is the wealthy people, he says, all of these gave their gifts out of their wealth. So in other words, they have excess. And they're giving a lot of money dollar-wise, in other words, amount-wise, they're giving a lot of money, okay? But Jesus says, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. You see, the difference between these two is attitude. All right? That those who are giving out of their wealth are giving what they're not even going to miss. They've got so much. They're not even going to miss it. So by comparison, they're really not giving a lot. Not when you compare that she gave all she had to live on. Now, it was only two small copper coins. It weren't worth much. But they were worth everything to God.
Amen.
You see? And that's the real key to it. It's attitude. It's not how much, dollars and cents wise, we give, but it's what we're giving in terms of from our heart and our attitude. You see, she trusted God in her giving. I don't think the coins back then said, "In God we trust," on them, but the ones that she put in the treasury showed that she really did.
Amen.
Because she gave everything she had, trusting that God was going to take care of her needs. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in the text that we read as we began this morning, let's take a look at this text and see, you know, the question is, do we really take God at His word? Do we really believe, and not just believe, but do we act on that belief in terms of what Paul is telling us in this text? Do we really trust in God? Okay, take a look at this text with me. He says, first of all, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now look at this next statement. He says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, let's talk about that, what he has decided in his heart to give. Because you see, people are kind of mixed up about this whole tithing thing. Okay, now you can raise your hand if you want to. How many of you here, of you are in here that are Jews? Anybody? I'm not either. So tithing doesn't apply to you or me, okay? It was part of the Old Testament law of Moses that was given for the Jews. It only applied to them. It never applied to Gentiles, and that's what you and I are.
Amen.
Okay? Not only that, but that old law has been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross.
Amen.
All right? So tithing is not something that we are commanded to do. That, in other words, we have to look and see, well, I got to give 10% of everything that I have. No. No, you don't. You can give more. You see?
Amen.
You can give more if you want to. Whatever it is that you give, you need to decide that in your heart. And look at what he says here. Remember, he says, whoever sows how? Sparingly will reap sparingly. You see? So if I look at it and say, okay, Russ, man, thanks a whole lot. You relieved me of that. I don't have to give 10%. I wonder if 2% will do. Jerry, what's the average that we saw in those statistics we were talking about? That 4%, 4.5% is the average that people give. 4.5%. In fact, we read a statistic here that said, if all of us, correct me if I got this wrong here, if all of us were on welfare, okay, and we gave 10%, the amount of the contribution would go up. Yeah. What does that tell us about our giving?
Well,
are we giving sparingly or are we sowing generously? You see, when you look at your heart and you decide in your heart what to give, it's not a matter of 10% or tithing. It's a matter of, am I sowing generously or am I sowing sparingly? You see, it's a matter of, am I giving out of my wealth or am I giving out of my poverty all I have to live on? See? So don't get hung up on the tithing or the 10%. Get hung up on sowing generously and reaping generously. Let's continue on with what he says. And God, who is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in how many things?
All
things, at how often?
All
times. And look at this next part. Having what?
All
you need. You will abound in every good work.
Amen.
You say? Do you believe that? That's reflected in your giving. Do you trust God enough when He says that you will have all that you need, not all that you want, but all that you need? You see, you'll have that. Okay? And you will abound in every good work. Let's continue on. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. He has promised us that He will take care of us. You see? That's a promise from God. Do you trust in God's promises? That's really the issue here. Okay? When you pass over that dollar bill or that quarter or that dime or that $10 bill or whatever it is, it has on there, "In God we trust." Do you really? Okay? Let's continue on. Look at this part. I like this line. You will be made rich in every way. Do you believe that? See? Man, unless I'm liking this sermon, never mind. That means I'm going to go out and win the lottery, right? No, that's not what He's saying. You see? That's not what He's saying. Okay? You'll be made rich in every way. Look at what He says after that. So that you can be what? Generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. You see, what Paul wants us to understand is, first of all, we need to trust in God that He will take care of us. And that not only will He take care of us, but He will so generously bless us if we so generously, in other words, we give to Him generously, He will so generously bless us so that we in turn can generously bless other people. You see? Now, isn't that a whole lot different way to think than to look in our purse or our wallet when the collection plate's coming around and going, "Let me see, I need this for lunch, I need this for school tomorrow, I need this for gas money, and I got a dollar left over, I'll put that in the plate." Each man what he has decided in his heart to give. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. See? But again, it comes down to a matter of trust. You know what the real problem is? My money. Okay? Well, you see, we tend to look at it as ours. It's my money. That's why I say we have difficulty with it because, you know, it's personal. We don't like people telling us what to do with our money. So it's my money and my stuff. Okay? And we like to make sure we got control. That's another problem for us, isn't it? Over my stuff. Including my money. And so our thinking kind of goes along this line. I went out and got me a job. Right? And I'm the one who goes to work every day. Right? And so I'm the one who gets to collect the paycheck. Right? And some of you look at that and say, "Well, that's right. I work for peanuts." But, okay? Nevertheless, because I got the job and I go to work and I collect the paycheck, then it's mine. Right? Everything I have is mine. You know what the only problem with that is that I see? God says it's all His.
Amen.
Okay, so we have a conflict here, don't we? We say it's ours, it's my money, it's my stuff, and God says, "No, it's not, it belongs to me." Look at what He says, Psalm 50, okay? "Every animal in the forest is mine," God says, "and the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Amen.
They all belong to Him. Okay? Not only that, but He goes on to say, "I know every bird in the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine," God says. They belong to Him. Alright? And then He says, "Look, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Okay? The world is his. Does that exclude anything, including your job, your house, your car? No. He says it's all his. So if you want to hold on to it, insisting that it is yours, then you got to argue with him about that.
Man.
Okay? And I think he's got a better claim.
That's right.
He says it's all his. He's just given it to us to use and to be stewards of while we have it.
Amen.
But it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. Let me ask you this one. Think about it this way. Who gave you the health that you have so that you could go to that job that you have, to get that paycheck that you have, so that you could buy the stuff that you have? God gave it to you, didn't he?
That's right.
You see? Look at what he says in verses 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Do we trust him that he will do that? See? If we will honor him with our lives. Okay? You see, we need to understand, giving is not, we don't give to God because he needs anything. Because he says, you know, if I'm hungry, am I going to call on you? God didn't require the Israelites to offer animal sacrifices so he could have something to eat, folks. That's not what they were for. God doesn't need anything from us.
Man.
And so we don't give back to him because he needs it. We give it back to him in appreciation for what he's already done for us.
Amen.
He doesn't need it from us. But look at how much he gives us. See? How many of you could really do this? How many of you could really count all the blessings that you have from God?
Yes.
And name them one by one? Oh, you can start out and probably remember the most recent five or six. But when it's all said and done, how many of you could really count the blessings that he's already given you just today?
Amen.
You see? So when you give, it's a matter of responding to what God has already given to you. See, from the heart. Now here's a real eye-opener. James, in James chapter 4, says, what is your life? Or you are a mist or a vapor that appears for a little while and then does what? Vanishes. Okay, so in other words, as we've talked about before, we don't even own our life. Okay? You say, it's my life. I do with it what I want to. No, it's not. Your life doesn't even belong to you.
Man.
It can be taken from you just like that. And you have no control over that whatsoever. So if your life doesn't even belong to you, why should we think that our stuff does? You say that we want to hold on to so much instead of letting go and giving it to God. Everything belongs to him already.
Amen.
You see? Let me ask you this question. Think about it this way. How do you like it if someone comes along and wants to take something of yours and hold on to it? You get pretty upset about it, don't you? Somebody comes along and says, hey, I want that. You go, wait a minute, that's mine, thank you. And you can't have it. Well, isn't that kind of what we're doing to God? When it's already his to begin with, and he comes along and says, I want this, and we go, no, you can't have it. You see? But we hold it back from him. It belongs to him already anyway. And then finally, we need to understand this. Is there one thing that you still lack, or one thing that remains between you and God? Mark chapter 10, verse 17 and following, the story of the rich young ruler. Okay? Now I want you to consider a couple of things about this story as we finish up this morning here. According to Jesus, this man had everything going right. Okay? Think about it. This young man comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "Keep the commandments." And he says, "Which ones?" And Jesus gives him a kind of a list. Okay? And the young man says, "All of these things I have kept since I was a youth." Okay? So, here's the situation. Here's this young man who has kept the commandments. Now, I don't think that, and I'm not implying either, but I don't think Jesus intended, or this young man even intended to imply that he did it all perfectly. We all know that's not the case, okay? But he had it going for him, according to Jesus, okay? And according to his own testimony, "I've kept all these commandments." And by the way, that would include his worship to God, because that's part of the commandments, wasn't it? So he's been keeping all these commandments. In other words, we would look at him and say, "Oh, what a good, God-fearing man." Okay? According to Jesus, though, he lacked one thing. Even though he had all this other stuff right, he lacked one thing. One thing only. Jesus said, "Go and sell your possessions. Give the money to the poor and come follow me." Man walked away sorrowful, the Bible says, because he had great wealth. So even though he had everything else going in the right direction, he had a problem with money. You see, his attitude toward money stood between him and salvation. Remember, that was the question that he asked Jesus, wasn't it? "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so his attitude toward money and toward giving, because that's what Jesus required of him, right? Go and sell how much of your possessions? All of them. Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor and then come follow me. You see? And his attitude toward money stood in the way of his salvation. So, we as Christians can have all of the things going in the right direction for us. You know, we're kind of those folks who, we come to church every time the doors are open, you see, and we contribute, and we give, and we work, and we do all the things we're supposed to do. But yet, we can still be lacking in that one thing. You see? Without a proper attitude toward money, we can still be lost. Because attitude is everything when it comes to our relationship with God. Remember again, we said it's not how much we give. Okay? It's where our heart is. Without a proper biblical understanding on giving, and our attitude is not going to change. Okay? And so that's why we want to focus on what does God have to say about giving? So we can get a proper understanding. Because you know what? As a shepherd of this flock, and I know that Ray and Jerry and Dale would agree with me on this. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this study. As shepherds here, we don't want any of you to lose your soul because of that one thing.
Man.
Okay? Not anything, but especially not when it comes to money. Okay? And so we want to spend some time on this stuff. So we're doing this Bible class to help us to get a proper understanding and a proper attitude so that we're not going to be lacking in anything. So, the message this morning is, again, kind of preparing us for the study. I want you to be thinking about it, and we're going to be starting that on September I don't remember, it's the date, let's see, whatever. Somebody check the calendar. The 13th, I think, is our Friends Day, and it's going to be the following Sunday, whatever that Sunday is, that we're going to begin this. And you'll be hearing more about all of our Bible classes, because we're going to be talking about those and promoting those, because we want you to be in Bible class. Okay? So we're going to talk about more of that coming up here. But that's what's going on. Right? We want you to be thinking about it. What are we giving of ourselves to God? There's a whole lot of things that we need to talk about and we need to study when it comes to giving. But primarily and foremost, we need to be focused on giving ourselves to the Lord. Because that's where it starts. It's got to come from the heart. This morning, as we finish up, we're going to sing a song that Wes has chosen for us as an invitation song. And I want you to be thinking while we're singing this song, is there anything that's standing between me and salvation? Have I even given myself to the Lord? There's someone here this morning that has not given yourself to the Lord. You've not called upon Him to be your Lord and Master. And you can do that this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life so that He truly does own you, then you can do that. Call upon Him as Lord, repent of the sin that's separating you from Him, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. Make that commitment. Give your life to Christ. You're already a Christian, but maybe you're looking at maybe this topic or some other topic that's standing between you and Him that's causing problems in that relationship. Let's get rid of it this morning. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone. If you'd like to come up here and talk with me, Jerry will be in the back to receive anyone who would like to have a private prayer conversation. We want to serve you because we don't want anything, any one thing at all to stand between you and your soul. Let's stand together and sing.